Good to see you all. How are you doing? Okay, it's great to be here. Julie had planned to come, but she needed to get some time so she can do the London Marathon next year. So she's doing the Chester Marathon about now, hopefully. So she sends her apologies. Great to be with you. Just want to honour you guys in honouring these folks, Richard and Jackie. Just want to honour you for honouring them. You know, there's something about, something happens in the spiritual realm when we honour each other. It's not flattery in the world. We call it flattery. But in the kingdom, it's called honour. So, well done. Good job. Okay, you look like I've just told you off. Okay. Richard asked me if I'd speak on the old man, new man. And so we're just going to have, I just want to throw some things about, out on this topic. The old man, the new man. Do you ever wish, do you ever think I could be doing so much better? Okay, there are times and I think I could be doing so much better if I could just get a handle on this in my life. If this wasn't having such a big influence, or if that just didn't annoy me, or if they weren't in my life. Please pray, I know I am shallow. You're much further on than that. But I want to start this talk off by saying in Genesis 1 verse 27, it says something really amazing. And I don't think most of us have the revelation on it. And that is simply this, that we are made in the image of God. And I know you're dying to look around you. To think. And for some people, it's easier, isn't it, to think that? You know, you think, Tim, good guy. Good guy. Where is he? Where's that, Alan? You know. And for some people, it's easier, isn't it, to think that about. But it can be really difficult for us to recognize ourselves. You may not think you are made in the image of God. You may not feel you are made in the image of God. And I've got something that is a bit of a shock coming for you. It doesn't change the fact that you are. You just won't live in the benefit of it. And there's lots of things I find today in Scripture that, you know, are taught in church, and people say, well, that's not quite my experience. And I want to say to them, well, do you want me to rewrite it for you? Do you want us to rewrite that? So it is your experience, or are you going to change your experience? Or, see, there is a real need for us to align what we think regarding Scripture. You know, we need to align our thinking to what Scripture says, not to what we would like it to say. There's a long-running debate in Scripture over, well, in theory anyway, over whether man is made up of two parts or three parts, whether he's made up just of body and soul, or is he made up of a trichotomy, which is body, soul, and spirit. Well, you know, I don't know how you feel about that. You mightn't feel anything, and I say, God bless you. But if you want to think, well, there's something with body and soul, God bless you. The point is that those things together are one. And we need to realize that we are to be one with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God resides in you. He's not inside you to fight a civil war. Yeah? He's not there to fight a civil war. I want to be, I was 62 last week, and I want to be the best me I can be. Okay, people say, well, Dave, what's your ministry? I don't know. I quite like it when people ask me, because I love seeing the expression on their face, where like, I don't know, and I don't really care. You know, your ministry is, you are what you do. You know, if you're a pastoral type of person, you can't help but love people, you know. And if you're a, you know, if you've got a, you know, a teaching gift, when people are sat down, they're talking about something, you'll just bring a little gem. And if you're a prophetic person, you'll just bore the pants off them giving them prophecies all day, which we reappreciate. And if you're an evangelist, you'll keep telling them how you led 3,000 people to Jesus on the way to work this morning. And that's okay. You know, you tend to do who you are. But we live in a world where everybody is trying to be something. And quite often it's something that they're not. I have a real problem that I can't watch reality TV. I really feel nauseous. It might be my age. I really feel so upset for these young men and women. Same with the people like who do the lottery. I feel so upset for them that they think they can win this money and it will change their life. It will change their life, but not necessarily for the best. Not necessarily for the better. You know, you can try and be somebody, but if it's not who you are, it's a lie. Let me give you a quick... You need to just understand about the body, soul, and spirit. The body consists of flesh and blood. You all knew that. Okay? But it requires, it desires certain things. It desires food, rest, sex, and comfort. Our souls consist of our intellect, our emotions, and our will. And it desires, your soul desires security, significance, and stimulation. So if you're a little teacher there, you know, there you got three S's. Security, significance, and stimulation. And our spirit consists of our eternal nature, our communion, our fellowship with God, our new life. And it desire, the desire that our spirit has, is to fellowship with God and to please God. Is that how you feel? I know you do now because you're here. You have to. It's part of the rules. But there was a man who wrote this. He said, why is it? And he was a bit of a grumpy toad. But he lived a bit of a life. He said, why is it? I do the funny things I don't want to do. And don't do the things I want to do. And he put it in a letter. He obviously wasn't trying to impress people. This is Paul writing to the church. And he said, why is it so? Sorry. I may have switched it off by accident, I don't know. But do you ever feel like that? Why is it I end up doing the funny things that I want to do? No, okay, I do frequently. You know, I can really get that. Why is it I do the funny things I don't want to do and don't do the things I really want to do? Anybody else ever have that conflict? I know not recently, but I meant, you know, long time ago. But that's life in the spirit. There's a struggle, and the struggle is this thing that is supposed to be dead is trying to live on. Another way of putting it is that our lives aren't fully surrendered. The old man and the new man. And it's important that we understand the truth. And I could only drop some seeds this morning. But a lot of people will say to you, come to Jesus, you know, God's a God of grace. You just live your life. God loves you. You just live your life any way you want to. Well, yes, God is a God of grace. And you come exactly as you are. And then he puts his spirit inside of you. And I will tell you, it is impossible to stay the same. It is impossible because the work of the spirit is to draw you closer to God. You start thinking, I can't talk like that anymore. I can't do that anymore. I can't throw rubbish even out of my car window anymore. I know people probably don't do that here. But, you know, it changes every area of your life. Coming to Christ changes every area of your life. I don't have to join Save the Whale. I now think, isn't that wonderful? We should look after it. I don't have to join Save the Whale Club type of thing. But it changes because our nature changes because we realize as we're drawn closer to the Creator, we love creation. Is that a bit of a conundrum? Okay, let's look at scripture. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 to 10. 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 to 10. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Christ Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Praise God. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Underline that. You don't find many people underline the Bibles with that verse. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Ouch. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Jesus. I'm putting that bit in, okay? It doesn't actually say that. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. You know, and what I give you the emphasis here is that the word of God being in us. We live in a day where everything is opinion. Well, that's my opinion. Or that's my right. But what about your responsibility? We have a responsibility to align ourselves with the word of God. This is encouraging. Just not got there yet. I want to live in complete freedom. I don't know if anybody's ever been addicted to anything. I have. And it is great not being an addiction to it anymore. It's great to be able to walk past the pub and not have a hot sweat. Couldn't have a drink for 12 years. And honestly, I used to almost have an anxiety attack. And I don't say that, you know, lightly. Just walking past a pub. You know, I could walk into a room and tell you where the heroin was, easy. You know, I could almost sniff it out. I could be like a sniffer dog for the customs and excise. And it is so wonderful to live free of that type of addiction. And I know there are lots of different types of addiction. And they all destroy us. Yeah? Some are physical, some are emotional, and some are just come out of pure dumbness. But it is wonderful to be able to say, I had a glass of wine last night with Richard. I didn't have to have two or three or four or five or six or ten. And you know what? I don't think I was sweating. I was a bit anxious because I was watching David James on Strictly and he made me anxious and embarrassed. But it's great to be free. It's great to be free. I am thankful to be free. When I see other people like you may be drunk on the sidewalk, you know, I don't feel an ounce of judgment. I just want them to have that freedom that I have. You know, if you've ever been really broken by life and you've been made whole and God is healing you, you just want other people to have that. But that is a revelation, and that only comes as we submit ourselves to Jesus. Are you doing okay? You know, that God has started a work in me. The day, that evening, I gave my life to Jesus, God began a work. And you know what? I would have given up a zillion times. Because I wasn't very cooperative. Did I mean my prayer? I certainly did. But the Spirit of God is at work in me, and he will complete what he has begun. But he is at work. That means I am under construction. I have the privilege of speaking regularly at a church called Victory Outreach in Liverpool, and it's probably got about, I don't know, over 100 heroin addicts in it, and it's fantastic. You know, they all dress better than me. I don't know who that was. But they dress really sharp, you know, and it's really quite a rigid life. And I've got to know some of these guys and their story. They tell me their story and they're like, are you all right, Dave? And I'm just like totally weeping because I can see. And they think, well, I've only been in rehab for 6 months, you know, and I'm just like, but you're not what you were. You're not what you were. God is at work in them. And God is at work in you and I. the old man, there's nothing good about the old man, the man before Jesus. So there is a problem that is in most of us, and that we think fundamentally that man is good. I was in a leaders conference about 2 weeks ago, and these leaders were talking. It was a Baptist one, unfortunately. And they were saying, well, basically, you know, man is good. And I'm like, what Bible do you read? That's not what my Bible says. If that is your standard, we're in trouble. We are in trouble, because let me just tell you some of the things that Scripture talks about. It talks about in Galatians 5:19, it says this, talking about the flesh or the natural man. It says the works of the flesh are evident. They're clear. You can see them. They are evident. And they are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions. If you've got more than two of these, see me in a minute. Jealousies, outbursts of wrath. Ooh, that's a really common one. But it's justified. No, it isn't. Selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Now, I don't know what "and the like" is. I think it means etc. And this isn't in a list of which is worst. It's just saying this is what the flesh looks like. Of which I want to tell you this beforehand, just as I also told you in times past. So he's obviously had to pause that, told them before. So Mr. Grumpy's writing again. He says this, and those who practice such things, ouch, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Ouch. Well, I'm not as bad as Tim on that one. On the envy one, like, you know, I'm not as bad as Tim. Outbursts of anger. Yeah, Richard. Yeah, probably worse than Richard on that one. You know, it's not this multiple choice thing or a thing of comparison. It just says God wants to deal with them. Do you believe that God can deal with that list? I had a friend, he was addicted to pornography from the age of six. From the age of six, he was exposed to pornography. He cannot think of a day. He wasn't my friend at the time. When I first met him. At the age of 25, he could not remember a day where pornography hadn't had an influence on his life. And it took him into lots of places none of you would ever even want to hear about. And at the age of 25, he came to me and says, Dave, I want to get married. And I said, well, you're not fit to get married. And he said, why? I said, because you've got a problem with pornography. And you've got to just give me a word of knowledge. And he said, I have, yeah. And he told me his story. And I said, what do you want to do? He said, I want to be free. I will do anything to be free. So we prayed and I said to him, you can contact me 24/7 for the next 4 weeks. You can have access to me for the next 4 weeks, 24 hours a day. You can ring me if you feel, don't ring me and say you've fallen. Ring me when you feel tempted and we'll talk and I'll pray with you and I'll come and see you if I need to. And he rang me twice that evening. He is not falling into the temptation of pornography. And that was over 15 years ago. Totally broken off his life. Totally broken. But you know what? Has he been tempted? Yes, he has. But he has chosen to stand. Well, it's not that easy. It is a choice. Why do we sin? Because we like it. We don't like the effects of it. And we can justify it with saying, well, somebody once said to me, I'm only doing a little bit of pornography. And I said, you're in a really bad state. If you think you can do a little bit of sin, you're in big trouble. You don't have to agree with me. What is the new man? The new man is when we encounter the love of Jesus Christ and we humble ourselves and we invite him into our lives. We become righteous through what he has done. We have a revelation of his amazing love. We have a revelation and a fresh understanding of the word of God. It's like our conscience. It's like we are just renewed. Our conscience becomes alive. You know, I just found like there was things I could not do anymore. And there was things I just didn't want to do anymore. But it didn't all happen overnight. I had to make right decisions. You know, people didn't just stop using heroin and just getting out of the faces all the time when I became a Christian. I became a Christian and I had to go home to the mess that I left. But we have to make, you know, you might be able to. I can't do this in my own strength, and I'm not expected to. I'm supposed to do it in His strength. God, I can't do this. I cannot do this in my own strength. I used to have a horrific anger problem. You know, you spend any time with me, I am a real jelly baby. If there's a crisis, you want me there, because people cannot wind me up. It just doesn't work, you know. But I used to have such an anger and violence problem, you know, and God had to come into my life. And I must have been a Christian maybe for 2 or 3 years, you know, and this little kid came up to me and said, "Why are you so angry?" And I said, "Get away, I've got to give you a smack." And I went, "What's that about?" And I just thought, I need to do something about that. You know, now I'm sure that little kid, I think, you know, it must have been the Holy Spirit, because I was just shocked and disgusted. And I said, that needs to change. You don't see this in Jesus. If we don't see it in Jesus, well, we don't want to see it in us, eh? When we're born again, God, in Scripture, it's called circumcision, but what it's talking about is, you know, when we come to Jesus, the old man is cut away from us. The old nature, the old way of having to do things, it's just cut away from us. And that new nature comes alive. What does that new nature look like? It looks like Jesus. And I don't know, but you might be thinking there, but Jesus was perfect. But He was God in the flesh. Would you agree? When Jesus comes, He gets baptized, He led off into the wilderness, and the devil comes and tempts Him. And I remember being in a Bible school, and somebody's got Bible school, and I remember these guys saying, "Yeah, well, it's a bit of a non-event, that, isn't it? Because that was Jesus. It's not like He could have fallen." And I'm like, "How stupid are you? Of course Jesus could have fallen. One, there'd be no purpose in Him being led into the desert to be tempted. If He was tempted in every way like you and I, and He chose not to. And you and I can choose not to." Yeah. Now, and when we're on our own, we have choice of what sin we give into. We have sin. If you don't, the Bible calls that possession, and you need to be set free. And I've had quite a lot of experience of needing to be set free because I wasn't in control. But you can be free to be the person God has called you to be. You don't have to live with all the baggage of the past. You don't have to live with the weight of the past, of the guilt and the fear and, you know, the self-loathing. You don't have to live with all those things of the past. You may have been hurt by things that have been done to you, or things that you've done yourself that weren't too bright and have damaged you. You can be free from all those things, because in the new nature, there's newness. Scripture says, "Behold, all things are made new." You can be set free from those wounds you may have carried since you were a child. You can find, through God, the ability to forgive people who have violated you in the most horrible ways. You can find it in the strength of God, in the new nature, to be able to love people who have hated you. You can find it in the new nature to love parents who haven't parented you. It's all about the new nature. And you might say, "Well, that doesn't make sense, and it doesn't sound fair." It's not fair, and it's new nature. It's God's way. See, the new nature, we need to have Christ living in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Some people think, you know, the power of the Holy Spirit is so we can go shikabarondai, mondai, shondai, whatever. And that's great, isn't it? It's great to be able to pray in tongues. I love it. But the Holy Spirit is the one who comes and empowers us to be who God has called us to be. I cannot do it on my own. I wasn't designed to do it on my own. I'm designed to have the Spirit of God living in me and empowering me to be the Dave Connolly God has called me to be. Now, I'm not going to be perfect this side of heaven. Now, that's not a mandate to live a sloppy life. How much are you prepared to surrender will determine how much of this new life you're really going to be able to fly in. It's all about being surrendered. It's all about humbling ourselves. You're so nice people. I'm sure this never happens to you, where you just think, well, they just need to be sorted out, and I'm the person to do it. Now, I told you wouldn't be, and I feel foolish now I've said that. I just think, well, they just need sorting out. And God, and then it's not long before the Holy Spirit says, okay, to the measure you judge them, shall I judge you? And I'm like, no, it's okay. You carry on. Because the Holy Spirit is full of grace. The Holy Spirit just loves you, and he's at work in you. See, some of the basic human needs are simply these. I said before, security, significance. People are looking for the security, and they're looking in all the wrong places for security. Some people think if you can find the right relationship, they'll find the right security. If I can find the right job, I'll have the security and the finances, which will create a good... Well, why is it people are still getting divorced who have big cars and big houses, along with people who have nothing? There's nothing wrong in having things as long as things don't have you, as long as they don't become your God. Significance, everybody needs... They were created for significance and purpose. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. I love saying that to people. I love talking to people and saying, you know, when I pick up, they think, well, I was a bit of a mistake. I'm like, where did that come from? Because the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, I knew you before you were even in your mum's belly. That doesn't speak of any mistake, does it? And that's what we need to tell people, even people who don't know Jesus. We need to tell them, you know, the way to God says, you're not a mistake. God knew you. God planned you. He says he formed you. And as you start to speak these things, you address the issue of insignificance that people feel and the lostness that people feel. So they're desperately looking for those things. You know, and when people become a Christian, those needs don't automatically go. They don't just disappear, but you find a revelation and understanding of how that is worked out through the power of God in you. I use the phrase being comfortable in your own skin. I am really comfortable in my own skin. I like being with me. I like me. I know all the things wrong with me as well. That's a different talk. But I actually like me. So I like going for a walk with me. And I like talking to me. David did in the Bible, did it all the time, talked to himself all the time. So if you think, you know, it sounds like a bit of mental illness, well, if it is, David had it, and I'd be in good company. You need to be able to value what God is doing in you. If you're a person who's always correcting yourself, or even worse, correcting other people, stop it. That's the Holy Spirit's job. You know, some people just think they're there to correct everybody else. It's not your job. Holy Spirit's job. You be a person who speaks life and truth over your own life. Be a person who speaks life and truth over other people, and you will grow and they will grow more and more into this new creation, this new man. This new man who isn't weighed down with the baggage from the past, You know, and we read about sexual immorality and impurity and debaucheries. Often, this is a misguided attempt to gain love and acceptance from and some self-esteem from other people. Idolatry and witchcraft, often ways of seeking significance. You know, I live with two white, I became a Christian after 2.5 years, I backslid, and I used to live with two white witches. You know what? And they were searching, desperately searching. And they were just looking in the wrong place. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, etc. This is when we fall into self-protection. And we need to be able to identify this, you know, when we're in the mode of self-protecting mode or the self-promoting mode. Jealousy comes in. Ladies, comparison. Definitely much more of a ladies thing, comparison. You know, comparison, it's a joy stealer. You can look, drop dead. I mean, I've got two girls, and I've been through this. You know, our girls used to get changed like 3 or 4 times a day, and I had to, lovely dress, I think you changed, okay? And they, you know, they could look drop dead, gorgeous, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And then one of them would say, yeah, but I'm not as nice as my friend. I said, what are you talking about? Comparison, it is a joy stealer. Don't compare yourself to anybody. You are unique. You are uniquely made, and God is at work in you in the season that you are in. Drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Listen, anything that we get addicted to are often just substitutes for the real thing. People use alcohol to try and take away pain. They use drugs in order to try and find some escape. You don't want to go there. You could read in 1 John chapter 3, verse 6 and 10, and 1 John 5, 18, this whole issue of overcoming the flesh. There is a battle. There is choices to be made. There is something that rages. You may say, well, wouldn't it be great if we didn't have to sin? Well, you don't have to sin. We choose to sin. Ouch. We choose to give in to temptation. Jesus was tempted and didn't sin. Now, I'm not saying I am sinless. Well, let me just say something. If you sin, be really quick to repent. Not in order to be able to sin again in an hour's time, because that's not repentance. If you're a person who does something, repents knowing you're going to do the same thing in an hour, that is not repentance. And that's still on your tab. Repentance is a heart condition where there's remorse and sorrow. Let's just close with a couple of thoughts. But the fruits of the Spirit are this in Galatians 5, 22 to 26. But the fruits of the Spirit, what Spirit is that? The Spirit that resides in me. The Spirit that lives, that dwells within me, 24/7. But the fruits, or the evidence. I mentor a young man, and he's a barrister. And every conversation we have, we say, what is the evidence? So you can tell me that you are Billy Graham Jr. You know, and what you say has got to match what you're living. Otherwise, it's just your declaration. Yeah? You can tell me God is doing X, Y, and Z, and you talk to your wife and your kids like the rubbish. I'm like, ouch. There's some deceit there. But the fruit of the Spirit, the evidence that the Spirit is at work in me and is in work in you is this, that there's love. Love that is manifest in our actions and our words. Love isn't just an action, it is words. It's words and actions together. You know, don't show me you love me and never tell me that. We need to be told, you fantastic you are. You would say, I don't really need that. Well, I do. Come and tell me instead. But I think you're deceiving yourself. It's love and joy. The joy of the Lord is what? Okay, it's not a quiz. Come on. The joy of the Lord is what? Okay, so if you've got joy, you've got joy because you need some strength. And you need strength in adversity, don't you? Yeah? When you're in the midst of the really difficult times and you think, I know I should be crying, but I'm so thankful you're here, God, with us. Really so glad, because I'd be really stuffed if you weren't here. And he becomes your strength. The joy of the Lord. Love, joy, peace, how we need peace, eh? How does the world get by? I honestly don't know how people survive without knowing the peace of God in their lives. How did he do death, loss, brokenness? How did he do it? I don't know how they do it. I thought it was an angel. I thought that was an answer, actually. I don't know how they do it. Long suffering, kindness, goodness. You don't have to pick one. You can have multiples of these, by the way. So we've got love and joy and peace and long suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Oh, and we all put a circle around that one. Well, not for ourselves, obviously, for somebody else. Against such there is no law. And those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let's not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. There's evidence when we talk about walking in the Spirit and talking about having the Spirit of God, there's evidence in that, in how we speak, how we react. Listen, we can say, hey, this is where we are. You find out when you really are, where you really are, when trouble comes knocking on your door. You know, when tragedy comes knocking on your door, when pain and grief and sickness and disease and persecution come knocking, you see where you really are. And sometimes we're shocked because we're not where we thought we were. But that's not condemnation. It should be an inspiration for us to humble ourselves and get closer to God. If we actively pursue God, it will efficiently and affect how we do life. I don't know about you. You know, I love that I think about, you know, desiring more of God. You know, and it's easy to desire God here. It's what am I going to do to pursue God? And we use this phrase, it's pursuit is the proof of desire. You know, don't tell me you're thinking about praying more or doing this or doing that. Tell me what you're doing to pursue it. Pursuit is proof of desire because it's easy to have a desire and do nothing about it. Just think, in January, we'll all be going on a diet. Not all of us. Me, sorry. And it's always good to start the gym because it makes sense, doesn't it, to live healthy, eat healthy. Great idea. Now, I know it's Easter. I'm still thinking about joining the gym and Weight Watchers. See, it has to move from just being a good idea and of us acknowledging it. We hear talk after talk every Sunday and we can acknowledge the truth of it. But somehow we've got to say, you know, I think on a Sunday we say, we're not having another preach until you pick up and tell me what you've done with the last one. You say, fantastic. Well, no, because we're not going to have any worship either. We're going to sit in silence. We need to be picking up the word of God and aligning ourselves to it. Let me just finish with a couple of phrases. You can be the you God's created you to be. You don't have to wait another decade. You don't have to wait, you know, for the trumpet or for you to be taken up into heaven. When we stand before him, yes, we'll be perfect. But There's something of us being who God has called us to be. These new creations. We can be free to be who God's called us to be. I want to be the person God's called me to be. I want to save this generation that I live to my uttermost. You know, if I die before revival comes to my city, it's not possible. It is. I don't believe it is possible. And that's because in part I believe it started. But I want to be right in the heart of it. But I have to align myself with it to be part of it. You know, you can't have clean hands and an impure heart and handle the things of God. Not for any period of time. You soon get found out because you're counterfeit. Why struggle trying to be somebody that you're not really? Why not just submit ourselves and say, God, just go and have your way? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. I don't care if you feel like you're one. I don't care if somebody's told you you're not one. If you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The old things are passed away. They are under the blood of Jesus. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. And if you're carrying baggage, you need to know that. And you need to say, how am I going to pursue that? If all things are new, why is this? Why am I still carrying this guilt and shame? This brokenness? Because that's not God's plan for our life, to carry those things. The plan is to give us a story that glorifies him of how he has set us free. And Romans 12 verse 2 says this, and do not be conformed to this world, but by the transformed and the renewing of your mind. What you have going in here, what feeds this, massively influences what goes on in here and what we work out. By the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what the good and acceptable and perfect will of God is for you. I want to encourage you guys. You know, God is doing a great work amongst you. And God is gracious. And he loves you so much. And God has a plan for you individually and corporately to really impact Rugeley. And, you know, it is evident that, you know, many of you carry that desire to see Rugeley. I nearly said transform, but I'm trying not to use that word because I don't think it's a biblical word. I want to see Rugeley turned upside down. Come and see the men who turned Rugeley. Come and see these people. They're weird, but come and see them. Or the peculiar. We have people come to our meetings because their friends are encountering Jesus. And their friends can't verbally explain what's happened to them. So it's a bit like, well, come with me. And they get saved. Come with me. Come and see these people who are real, who are authentic. You know, we're not all in the same season. We're not all at the right same place, eh? Let's be real about that. You know, we'll always be working through something. But we'll be authentic. And the Spirit of God will be amongst us. And people will get saved and healed and delivered and set free and have their own stories to go out back into their neighborhoods and bring their friends and families to hear about the goodness of Jesus and to see their old men die and these new creations with new story. A new creation has a new story. I love coming here. I love the way you have those stories. They always speak to me. There's two, I'm going to finish by saying this, there was two about financial provision. They were great stories. If you're struggling financially, if it was me, I'd be grabbing those two and saying, just slap your hands on my head and pray for me, because I need some financial breakthrough. When you hear these stories, these testimonies, they're not fiction. It's God saying, I've done it once and I can do it again. Bless you guys.